Hello everybody and welcome to this episode of Hacker Public Radio. My name is Ken Fallon and today we're going to be talking about archiving your digital videotapes. Now I had it on my to-do list for a long time that I needed to take copies of my videotapes of the kids and stuff and send them on to the in-laws, the grannies and the granddads and such. So it's been on my list, but actually what prompted me to do it was an episode with our archivist Alison, I think, on the Jumping Monkeys podcast, which is about Twit and the Twit network. The Jumping Monkeys podcast itself is a podcast for parents in the digital age, yada yada yada, but they actually had a good point. She's very good point about that you in the digital age you need to constantly be renewing your data, so your photos need to be moving from one medium to another. You need to constantly need to be checking your hard drive to make sure that nothing's got corrupt. You need to be keeping it in different locations, that sort of thing. So with that in mind, I decided to go do some converting of my DV tapes. I'm kind of glad I did. I have a collection of about 100 tapes, and from about 4 years old is the oldest ones. And some of the older ones already had massive corruptions in them. Nothing too serious, nothing that I couldn't afford to lose or I couldn't repair. But it is really a good warning to everybody out there that DV tapes are not long-term storage. Now, what I actually wanted to do was convert the tapes in RAW format over to the PC, and that would give me, there would be no loss of video quality. My plan was not to do any video conversion, but unfortunately it works out that a DV tape roughly has 36 megabits per second, which works out at a gigabyte every 4 minutes, so that's 15 gigs an hour. And for my collection, that would more or less correspond to 115 terabytes of data. And probably in a year or two, everybody will be getting that on their mobile phone. But right now, I can't afford to have 15 terabytes of data just dedicated to digital videotapes. I didn't want to transfer the videotapes over to even more videotapes, which is a renewing process that you can do. And the reason for that is that I think the tapes will be okay long enough until the price of terabyte drives, large storage devices, come down. And as everybody's moving to the H.264 standard or MBEG standard, I might as well bite the bullet and just do the conversion now. This episode isn't going to be actually on the conversion to H.264, although I will say that I used M encoder to do it. I went to did some snooping around and I found an excellent blog on the blog post by Elisa Torres on how to manage your personal videos, and that's excellent. It goes into the space capacity, the different formats, what tools you should use, and then the encoding options. And it was here that I got the tip to use the DV grab command, and that I used in my script with the following switches: DV grab space minus open DML space size space 0 space dash autosplit dash T. And what DV grab will try and do is it'll either create files of a particular file size to try and keep under the 2 gig limit imposed by some disk file systems, FAT for instance, or it will split the files into like 10 minute segments and then immediately start a new one, or it will create 100 meg files and then start a new one. And the problem with that is you'd be in the middle of a scene and you need to do quite a bit of editing. What I wanted to do was split up, save a different file for every scene that I've recorded. So so the number of files would vary depending on the tape. So for instance, I've made recordings of my brother's acting or drama presentations, and that would obviously be an hour long, so it would be just one file of 15 gigabytes with the time and named with the time and date of the first video, first frame of that video session. And then for other tapes, you know, it's birthday parties or whatever, and you're taking a picture of the shots of the cake or shots of birthdays or whatever, shots of birthday candles or whatever, then you tend to have like smaller 2 minute segments or 5 minute segments, and you know, multiple files per tape. But that's the way I wanted to do it, because I want to store them on a date basis so that I can archive them later based on date and time, and correspond those with my photos, which are also based on date and time. Anyway, that's just how I wanted to do it. How you do it is entirely up to you. Naturally, I'm using, this is a tip for Linux, and I wanted to script this as much as possible. So I've done a post on kenfallon.com entitled Archiving Your DV Tapes, and it is basically a script to do this one tape encode thing. So you put in a tape, it runs this DV grab, it does the encoding, and then it's over. And the basis of that command is the DV grab command, which I've just gave you. One thing that the DV grab doesn't do is that when it gets to the end of the tape, at least on my camera anyway, it didn't send the command in to stop and then move on to the next line, and that makes a bit of a problem when you want to do scripting. So as it happened, I did some looking around, and I saw a lot of people complaining about that post on, you know, how do I tell DV grab to stop. And then I remembered I'd seen a post on the IBM Developer Works site, and the tip was called controlling the duration of scheduled jobs. And essentially what that goes into over there is, there will be links in the show notes for this podcast. Essentially what that goes into is, what it does is you set a variable, the runtime that you want to run, and then you have another variable which is going to be the PID ID. So you run the command dv grab space minus open DML space minus size space 0 space auto space space dash t and the ampersand sign, which runs that job in the background. And then immediately underneath that you run dv grab PID, it's just a variable that I wanted, is equal to dollar sign and the exclamation mark. And what that does is it puts the PID number of the previous last process that you've run in this shell into the variable dv grab PID. And then what it does is it goes to sleep for a specific period of time. So now I'm running a script and kicking off this dv grab job. The script itself is going to go to sleep, and then after 70 minutes, it's going to wake up and it's going to run the command kill minus s sig term and then the dollar dv grab PID. And what that's actually doing is it's sending the control C signal into the dv grab job that I've just run. So as all my tapes are 60 minutes long, 70 minutes is more than ample time to do the transfer from dv to my PC. One thing you need to make sure of is that you have enough, at least 15 gigs free on your hard disk, preferably more, if because if you're going to run this as a normal user, which you should do, you won't have that extra 10% that's allocated to the root user. Okay, then the next part of the script is the mencoder with the OPFS. I'm not going to go into that. It's detailed in the blog posting, which on the link in the show notes, but it's actually, I just copied and pasted that from the blog, the Taurus blog, and it actually gave very good pictures. I'm quite happy with it. The loss of quality is imperceivable as far as I can tell. It's close enough for jazz, as they say. Although I've got one single script, what I actually did was I split the two processes into two different things. I had a script that ran a for file in *avi-do* and then the encoder commands, and then when it was finished it just moved the file over to a done folder. then it just continued to loop through that. And then on my laptop, that was in my basement, so that runs 24/7 doing the encoding. And then on my laptop, I would come along anytime I'm home, plug in the DV camera, pick a tape, put it in, press, use the command DVCONT rewind, have that run for 5 minutes, then that would stop, then it would kick off the, that would be control seed, then it would kick off the DV grab for 70 minutes, then that would be control seed, then it would do for every file that it's AVI file, it would copy it over as avi.temp to my server, and at the end of the transfer it would rename the file from avi.temp to whatever the file name was, .avi just. And the reason I did that was so that if the server was finished encoding some of the files, that it wouldn't start encoding a file that it was process of transferring, so I wouldn't get any corrupt files. And then the next line on the laptop PC was to run MP3-123, which would then play a loud MP3 file, which would then alert me to the fact that I needed to go over and put in another tape. And the last thing it would do was, well, before that file, it would actually do a DVCONT, DV control space rewind, to rewind both tapes. So you rewind it at the beginning of the session and rewind it at the end. And that's pretty much it. Thank you very much for listening. Again, there'll be more information on the on this on my website, kenfallon.com, linked in the show notes. I'll also link to that blog and the tip about controlling the duration of scheduled jobs. Thank you very much for listening, everybody, and hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.